Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give to us your word and you are so gracious to us. We thank you that you are the God who is always loving towards us. We thank you that you are consistent. We pray that you would make us that way. Send your spirit to teach us. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. Help us to do that. And Father, we do pray that your word would just burn in us, that the glorious gospel that is ours because of you would be what we trust in all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we were near the conclusion. We were talking about the issue of getting to know what's around us and being aware of what's around us. And I had put some numbers up here and from some econ. By the way, I got handouts. Brian's printing these up now for you. I want us to look at them, okay? You know, remember some of these statistics? Let's see, we'll put them up here. 1%, well, that one's not any good. Try another one. That's better. 1% of the wealth is owned by, 1% of the people own 50% of the wealth. Okay? So that's one of the statistics for us to think about and talk about for a bit. And I was bringing this up as an illustration of an issue that we ought to know what's going on around us, in given what Jude says. You know, remember the statement in Jude. But you, beloved, remember the words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly desires. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. So the point that we have there, Jude tells us, remember what the apostles taught you about what's going on around you. And I'm encouraging you to be aware and read some things. And then Brother Miguel came up afterwards and had a couple additional thoughts that I think are very good for us to think about. And since he shared those with me, I think we should share them with the class. And so John's point was, how come there's so few people here? Isn't that basically your idea, John? And the answer was, because a whole lot of these people live, let's euphemistically call it a profligate life. Okay? Now, what does profligate mean?
Too much fun,
wasted, not necessarily sexual, you know, again, in its nature.
Generation thing?
No, but that's an interesting thought that I do want to bring up with, the three-generation idea. But John's point is, there's a whole lot of people, the 99%, that waste their money rather than living a simple life and investing their money. That was sort of your idea, I think, right, Brother John? Okay. In other words, we should... And my point of this was not to be, you know me well enough, not to be some flaming Marxist, you know, who's complaining about, you know, the inequities of society out there. That was not my point. My point was to ask the question of why and for us just to be aware of what's out there. And John's answer was, I thought, quite good. There is a reason why some people don't have much money, and it's not due to the fact that they don't make much money, right? It's due to the fact that the amount of money they make is not always being used very wisely. Now, that's not true of everybody who's in the 99%. There are a lot of people over here who don't make a lot of money, you know, for whatever the reason is, or they have a lot of unusual expenses, medical expenses, things like that, that they have to take care of, right? We understand that. But there's a whole lot of people, and maybe you talk with them at work, who talk about how they need to get their life squared away and need to invest, or they need to do other things, but they're always buying new toys, okay, all the time. And now, the definition of toy varies, you know, depending on who you're talking to, but they spend a lot of money on unnecessary things, or they do things like go up to L.A. for dinner. I mean, I got, you know, one of the guys who works with me does that, you know, and it's a fancy restaurant up in L.A., too. I mean, he's not going up there, you know, to go to Five Guys and get a double-deck hamburger, okay? I mean, he goes, so he's going to a fancy restaurant, goes all the way to L.A., you know, that kind of stuff, right? So there are a lot of those kinds of issues that we need to be aware of, where people are doing these things that are wrong. Now, the point in this, and I want you to read it, that's why I asked Brian to make some copies, is not to get so involved just in this, but to start asking questions. What does God's word say about this? Now, what the author was saying here is that if you look at how God set up Israel with a bunch of what we would call yeoman farmers. That is, guys who own their land and farm their land. Okay? And when you have a whole lot of those, they tend not to have these multiple enormous, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres, but they've got smaller farms because they own their land and they're farming their own land and everybody's doing that. So roughly a lot of middle class, that's what we would call it today. Okay. And that's why God set up Israel with people that were concerned with issues like justice. We had talked about that. And also issues about how we're supposed to live and take care of ourselves. Okay. In other words, people had trades. By trade, I simply mean they have training in some sort of occupation. I don't necessarily mean something like construction trades. Okay. And that's the way God wants us to live. Let me broaden it. That's sort of God's view of society. Ooh, can I use that kind of language? I think, okay. Why not, huh? Any questions about that? Yeah, Thomas.
One thing that I think is interesting is you get caught in the numbers, 99.1%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, you know, FDR, I'm not going to defend, you know, that kind of sort of Marxist regime or whatever, but mm-hmm. at that time, living around the poverty line, it looked a lot different than it does now. And the 1% owned a lot less. They didn't own 50% more than now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. We don't know what this number was, but it was a lot smaller than 50. Yeah. 20, 30.
The cheapest refrigerator was still a refrigerator. We didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole lot more now.
Exactly. And we have a whole lot more. You use the example of a refrigerator, you know, appliances, right? And the refrigerators of today are a lot better than the refrigerators of years ago, right? The insulation is better, the kinds of things they have in them, et cetera. So, yes. And the reason for that, of course, is the concept of competition, okay, which I'm convinced is biblical. I'm convinced you can make a solid argument for free market economics. I can see your hand. I'll give you a sec. Free market economics is biblical. Yes, I want to say that. Yeah.
The other thing when we talk about wealth, the wealth is not a static thing in terms of there's not a limited amount of wealth, there's only this much and it's split up so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
As Thomas pointed out, that's a growing thing, it's a dynamic thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like just because you get more, it's not automatically mean that I get less.
Right, exactly. What's that called? Zero sum gain? Gain, that's not the way things work. Yeah. Yeah. So if I get a little bigger slice of the pie, you by definition get a little smaller. I had a guy that I worked with years ago that believed that. And you know what I wanted to ask him, but I didn't because I didn't have the guts. The next time you get a raise, tell the boss you don't want the raise, but to give that money to somebody that makes a lot less money. Because you getting a raise means somebody else doesn't get a raise.
Or rather, which one of my brother employees did you take that money away from?
Yeah, you give it to me, yeah. All right, exactly. Yes?
The three generations thing is from shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves.
Yeah. Do y'all know that three generation idea?
Yeah.
In different cultures, like in Southeast Asia, it's from rice paddy to rice paddy in three generations. Here's the idea. And there's been a lot of studies behind this, and I read a book about it a number of years ago. You have somebody who begins as a, you know, not very rich person, and he works hard, and the result is that he's got some money, okay? And then what happens, his next generation, okay, and the person really ultimately gets a lot of money, next generation has the money, but the father who made the money doesn't teach his children how to handle the money, okay? And so what happens, that person maybe has the money, but then the next generation below him, they're a mess and they're back where the other one was because they really don't know how to handle money.
In China, they do that. The children of the very wealthy, the people who've made wealth in the last 20 years or so in China, are spending it faster than you can imagine and posting it on Snapchat.
Of course, yeah.
So they'll be back too. Mm-hmm.
Now, so I have copies of this for you to read. My point is, that it's just an example. I would encourage you, remember what your homework was for today that I'm going to test you on? what things are you reading that you can share with us? Okay, so we can put some names on the board. My point is here is just this is an example. Not everything they say is good. Okay, you would do that? Understand that? Not everything these guys say are good. Okay, sometimes they make mistakes, particularly when they take pot shots at the OPC. Okay, which they do regularly. Okay, by name. Okay.
I've got the half of them.
Thank you, Brian. Here you go. Can you hand those out? Thank you. Okay. So, anyway, read this. And then the last part here is also a current idea about the Pope. Okay? From Antichrist to brother in Christ, how Protestant pastors view the Pope. Now, the reason for this is not for me to take pot shots at the Pope. My point is for you to be aware what's going on out there. Okay? Because that's what Jude is telling us to do, to be aware. Okay, so what sources do you guys use? Websites or whatever?
I emailed you the one.
Okay, well, what's the name?
www.imaginativeconservative.com. And I just realized this week, I was looking at one of their entries, that they are a Catholic site.
Imaginative.
imaginative.
.com. So it's Roman Catholic.
Yeah, except that most of what it posts is more concepts that kind of fit in with what we.
Okay. So it's more.
Like a religious.
Okay, so it's political rather than theological.
Or societal.
Okay, societal, which is good. Okay, Diane reads one a lot called Real Clear Politics.com. But it has a tab in there that goes to religious things. Okay, and if you read some of those religious ones, they're very interesting. You know, from we as our perspective, there are a lot of very interesting ones off of this. So it links to lots of stuff. It's really a landing page. Do y'all know that term? Landing page is where you go to, and it's got a lot of links to other things. Okay, that idea. Okay, what else do you guys look at? Okay, American Thinker. This is another political one, but it also has AmericanThinker.com. And, of course, the implication of the name is if you're not a thinker, you don't agree with me, right? Okay, right? Yeah, any others? Yeah.
Standard Reason.
Stand. STANDTOREASON. .com.
Actually, the website is STR.
STR.
STR.com.
What is it called with
that? Standard Reason. Okay, what about it?
A sound thinker. Greg Cole, and now he's gotten pretty big that they're dealing in philosophy and apologetics.
So it's Christian-oriented?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's almost Reformed.
Almost. It's moving.
We don't have to ask them to admit they're Reformed, but they're Reformed.
Okay, yeah, and there's a lot of good things out there like that. Seriously. You know, seriously. Diane's former employer years and years ago, he read his Bible and he became Reformed, but he didn't know there were other people. He literally thought he and his wife were the only ones in San Diego County that believed this. And then he heard of a guy named R.C. Sproul. Yeah. And then he went to an R.C. Sproul conference and there were loads of San Diegans there. And what a pleasant surprise to the guy. Seriously. Okay? So there's a lot of people that are Reformed, but they don't know the name. Right? And they think they're by themselves. They think that they're lonely. You know, who else believes this? This is God's word. I'm convinced of it. You know? Okay. Yeah.
Gentle Reformation.
Gentle Reformation.
It's a question of Pastor Gillette that I know from the RV.
Now, is gentle meaning the opposite of banging and bouncing and impolite? Seriously? .com.
You know, the Deuteronomy passage, my other word called gentle.
Okay. And it's thus it's
theological things, and then there's also just like subtle self-discussion. more social issues.
Okay. Another, you're telling me it's self-consciously reformed.
Oh, yeah. These are two ministers in the RC.
Okay.
All of them. All the authors are.
Okay. Good. So, in other words, like this, these people may be reformed but don't know that they're reformed. These are people that are reformed and know, because they know their history of theology and things like that. Okay. Yes.
I have two. One is more of an aggregate site called the Aquila Report.
Oh, sure. I know Dominic Aquila. Yeah. You all know Dominic Aquila? You know Dominic Aquila? You guys do. Used to be pastor of the OP, well, used to be OP in Cerritos up in L.A. Okay? It's now a PCA church. But Dominic was the pastor up there. Yeah. Aquila, is that it?
The Aquila Report. And that's mostly Reformed news, so from the PCA and the OPC, and then also commentary on the evangelical world.
Okay.
On that STR, that's str.org, not str.com.
This is .org? And the rest of these are .com. Is this General Reformation a .com, Rebecca? Is this a .com? Okay, and this one's a .com? Okay. Any of you want to guess a guy named Dominic Aquila, his ethnic background?
Polish.
Definitely. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I visit
reformforum.org.
Reformed Forum, F-O-R-U-M,
yes.
.org?
Yes.
Okay, and why? Tell us about it.
So, Candon Busey is a pastor at Grace Lake, Chicago area, OPC pastor.
Yeah, I visited that church a number of years ago. Yeah.
And he has a great, it's a podcast that he does weekly.
Oh, really?
400 of them. And he does book reviews, he'll have it off and on. They'll tackle different topics that are all across the biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And just really very well done.
Okay. From Grays Lake Church. Grays Lake is north of Chicago. Okay, there's a big naval training there in Grays Lake, okay? Yeah. So Eric, you had another one, was that right?
Yeah, the other one's called Front Porch Republic. And it's
Front Porch, P-O-R-C-H, Republic, .com?
That's right. And the authors are generally either Protestants, but who confront issues dealing with politics, social issues, all from a theological standpoint,
mm-hmm.
but not, I guess, your glossy standpoint, but really trying to think through, when we understand human nature and how God created us, how should we think about these things in our place in society.
Okay.
So they're very thoughtful. Again, like these guys, you wouldn't always agree.
Yeah.
But they would always make you question, think a little deeper about the issue.
Okay. By the way, we should never, these or anything else, always agree. Okay? You should never say, because Mr. Garrison said it, it's right. Okay? Okay, good. Okay? Because we're all sinners. Right? Okay? Yeah. Herman Alley, did you have your hand up?
I want to know what you first of all said, Eric was talking about
that. Okay, so you want to know the first one? Eric, was the Aquila Report?
Yeah.
Yes, Dominic Aquilas. A-Q-U-I-L-A, the Aquila Report, right? The word does in the URL. Okay. Now, yeah, Mike.
On economics, I like to go to the von Mises.
Ah, yeah, that's very interesting. You all heard of the von Mises Institute? Who or what? Is it V-O-N?
Yeah, M-I-S.
M-I-S.
M-I-S, yes.
Yes. Institute? .com or org? Or? Okay, probably don't. Okay, tell us who this is named after, et cetera.
Ludwig von Mises, an Austrian
an economist.
He's an Austrian, so he's from Austria?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or the Austrian school.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Austrian School of Economics?
No, I think he was from Austria, but he is of the Austrian School of Economics.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So what's the Austrian School of Economics for those of us who are not economists?
Opposite
of Keynes. Wait a sec. So what's the, y'all know what that is? They're radical free market good thinkers. I was once talking to an econ prof at the University of Texas in the airport. You know, I just started talking to guys. And I said, you ever heard of the Austrian school? And he says, yeah, in fact, they're the only ones out there that are really doing the good thinking. And that was an interesting thing. You know, I'm talking to this econ prof at UT Austin. So I thought, that's an interesting remark. Yeah, from such
a libertarian.
Yeah, strong libertarian free market kind of guys. Yeah. Okay, so anything else? Do you have a
former libertarian? Nice. The key word there is former. I think that some of what they think is really good, and others is like, and you end up going down a rabbit hole.
Okay, so the point in all of these is read them, think about them, and my point of this is for us to be encouraged to do that. To be aware of what's out there. And, you know, you might find some things like this that you want to print and reproduce and stuff like that, right? Okay? So we're trying. My point is to try to apply what Jude has there. Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know what?
What?
Karen has a good recommendation, but she's never willing to pick it up.
Karen's got one more for us to put up here?
No, she has a recommendation for you.
That everybody email you theirs, and then we can have a list to give out to people.
That's a good idea.
I hypertext the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has all the pro-life ones, right? All the pro-life websites.
Okay, good. Why don't you all email them to me, and we'll send them out. Okay? Y'all up to that? Garrisey@sand.rr.com. That's how you spell Garrisey. Wait a second. There are two R's. There is one S. Okay? That's how you remember it. Okay? Garrisey@sand.rr for San San Diego, RR for Roadrunner.com. Okay? So that's...
I wondered what that meant.
I'm surprised that they're still in business.
Roadrunner?
Yeah.
They're Time Warner Cable.
Well, with all the other ones out there.
I don't know. We've had that email for years. Okay. I want to go beyond this. Okay. You going to email me this?
Well, it's actually more of a question.
Oh, okay.
When you were talking about everybody having a trade and everybody being a yeoman farmer,
yeah,
that reminded me a little bit more of not libertarianism, but G.K. Chesterton's distributism, which I've recently started reading a little bit about. Yes, I know he was a Catholic writer, but...
Well, we don't assume that you have to be Calvinist to have all wisdom. Seriously, Van Til used to use the language borrowed capital. There are a lot of people that are unbelievers that have insights into things, right? We don't say because somebody's an unbeliever, we automatically don't listen to them, right? God does give wisdom to unbelievers. And it's good for us to know our scriptures and then evaluate the unbeliever's thinking. Like Chesterton, somebody else behind you that likes Chesterton too.
Definitely not an unbeliever.
Okay. Okay, let's clear that up.
But the distributism seems to have, and I'm just learning about this, okay, with the means of production being distributed more evenly among the populace, which is why the yeoman farmers triggered my distributism, you know, flag that went up.
Okay.
And the trades, and then it's really at this point in my life a lot more seems a lot more relevant than sheer libertarianism.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was just a vegetarian back in the 70s.
Okay, good.
Scary.
Let's go back to Jude. Thank you. Okay, so Jude, I want us to do a little more thinking on some of the implications of verse 17 and 18 and 19. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers. Probably a better translation is scoffer. Sometimes the word mock means to mimic somebody and do it in a derisive way. That's sort of what they're doing, scoffing at somebody. But sometimes the word mock just means to imitate somebody, like a mockingbird. Okay, and the mockingbird is called a mockingbird because it makes the songs of lots of other birds. All right? Okay. So the mockers in the last time would walk according to their own ungodly desires. Okay. Remember the word walk there probably is better translated just living. It's not the word walk in Greek in contrast to run or crawl. Okay, but it's a different term for just living. Go on their way, perhaps, is a good translation. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. And we saw that some translations are a little more correct. They reverse the order of those first two. Those that cause divisions, they're sensual persons, and they don't have the Spirit. I want us to turn and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because Paul seems, and I think very... Oh, Kathy, I'm going to use the word intriguing. Okay, Paul seems to use different words for the same concepts. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 and following. This is a key passage for us just in our own thinking to understand how the unbeliever thinks. Okay, y'all have a copy of this Trinity Review?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't have a copy, there we go. Okay. There you go. Everybody else has one? Over there, here you go, John.
Thank you.
Yeah. We can get more if we need to. Okay. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Let's back up, let's get some context. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us, meaning the great things that God has done for us, through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, we developing a little pneumatology here. What's pneumatology? Doctrine of the Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, now that word natural here, natural man, that's the same word in the Greek as Jude has for I'm going to say soulish, that's not the translation, the sensual man, okay? The Greek word is psychikos. You all know, see that root? Suke, psychology, comes from that. Okay, it just means the word soul. Okay, in contrast to body and soul, that's the term there. The natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct, or he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions, remember one of the issues back in Jude was these people causing divisions? Okay, you notice the same idea? So we have the natural man or the soulish man. And then we have the issue of divisions. So same themes that Jude is dealing with. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, I want us to notice a couple things here. One is the idea that Jude contrasts the soulish, okay, or the natural man, okay, maybe we want to use that word. And he contrasts that with the spiritual. Okay? So, what is the spiritual man? In that whole context that Paul is talking about there, what's the definition of the spiritual man? Yeah. He who has the Spirit. Right? That's the spiritual man. Okay? So, he who has the Spirit. How many Christians have the Holy Spirit?
All of them.
How many non-Christians have the Holy Spirit? None of them. Okay? This is not trick questions, okay? Okay, but I got to tell you where we're headed. Now, when you read this, some people want to say there's a third category of people, right? The natural or the soulish and the spiritual. And the third category is the carnal. Okay, in this context here. Yeah, they may be seekers. Okay, the carnal man. Now, this is a common idea, but what do people want? How do they want to define the carnal man? The carnal man is somebody who is saved, but does not have the evidences of it in his life. So he's living like an unbeliever, but he's genuinely saved. Okay? Now, we know that can happen once in a while for short term, right? We know the story of David. Okay? But these are people that live this way all the time. That is the description of their life as they look like an unbeliever, but they're genuinely saved. Okay? Now, I want you to know that through the study of the scriptures, I have come to disagree with that idea. Okay? Now, notice why. What does Paul use in his language here? Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal. Okay, so there's differences. Okay, these are people in the church. They're believers. But what's the next phrase? I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. Okay? And I fed you with milk and not solid food. That might remind you of Hebrews 6, Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. Okay? For until now, you're not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. You notice a little point that Paul maybe is implying you ought to be able to by now? Okay? But you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? See, they look at that last phrase, behaving like mere men. Oh, well, that's what the person is there. Okay, he's genuinely saved, but he looks like an unbeliever. But look at the whole context. The reason they're behaving like mere men is they have these divisions in the church. Sort of reminds me of the sermon today, a little bit, you know. Didn't the pastor talk a little bit about that? Okay? And the contrast is, we ought not to be that way. It's an issue of growth. It's not an issue of somebody who's a mature Christian who suddenly becomes carnal. That's the way it was presented. And maybe some of you have heard that. And I used to understand that, and I used to propagate that. I'm embarrassed to say it. But yes, I have preached sermons advocating that. Oh, my goodness. Okay? Confession is good for the soul. My soul needs some good. For when one says, I am a Paul, another, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, notice the language that Paul is dealing with here. There's the natural person and the believer. And the difference between these two categories of believers is an issue of growth.
Okay? Not the second blessing.
Yeah, not the second blessing. And there are people that hold this that are either second blessing people or perfectionists, okay, or Keswickian. The word Keswick looked like Keswick. K-E-S-W-I-C-K. I think that's how it's spelled. Keswick is pronounced Keswick. It's a city in England. Okay, it's a whole theological movement that's grown up from that area. Okay, which basically teaches there's two kinds of Christians. They're not necessarily tongue speakers. Some of it looks sort of Pentecostal to us, but they're not necessarily tongue speakers. Okay, but they have this carnal Christian, spiritual Christian idea. Okay, and that people can spend some time over here. Yes.
There's a group of people that refer to themselves as Christians. The first is not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And the really weird thing about that is they just use it as a crutch and excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they have a label for who they were.
That's right.
And that's perfectly okay.
Exactly. Now, in other words, I'm going to heaven, right? And it's not maybe the best thing, but I'm going to heaven. And, you know, I can have some fun here on earth, almost, it seems like. Okay? Seriously. This is, I shouldn't be sarcastic about this, but that seems to be the approach of some of them. And you're right, because they have a label that seems to legitimize the situation. Yeah, John?
And then they're less motivated to be the spiritual person.
Right. Okay. Yes, Mark?
In a church organization, they have their diagrams, and they have the cross, there's the throne of the light inside the circle. And they have, one person has...
That's a chair, not an H.
Across the middle. Cross is on the throne. And the various activities of the light are all in harmony with that cross. Okay? And then they have another circle, and this is also a person called the carnal person. And the cross is inside the light, but deep down at the bottom of the circle. And there's constant disharmony of all the interests in that light. But he's still a believer.
Mm-hmm.
It's self on the throne. That's the problem. Yeah, so they have ego on the throne.
Okay.
That's not supposed to be. You're not going to get that throne.
Okay. Right.
John?
Yes.
Actually, you said at work. And because one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 12:1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God,
present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, and so forth. But the thing is, that's who I deal with when they're Christians and they're coming in and they're abortion minded. It's because they're not, Jesus isn't Lord of their life.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the middle of a crisis, and instead of in a crisis turning to Jesus, they're turning to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we can say sometimes a carnal Christian is temporarily, you know, maybe like David, temporarily, you know, being overcome by temptation or
something. Sure. Does that happen to genuine believers?
Of course it
does,
all the time. And you see when you point people to act, as in change, as in... if you do these things, then you will be a Christian. When you're motivated by work, I think then you have a different kind of Christian. When you point people to Christ, then those other acts become where they're supposed to be. So when I talk to someone, I don't focus necessarily on the abortion. I focus on Jesus Christ and what is your relationship with him. Who is he to you? Right now, how would he counsel you? Because he's your father. That's way different than saying the Bible says this about, you know, this whole idea of, you know, just causing people to look. Not that we don't need to look at that. But when it's just, that's why I love that track, because it's like, put Jesus where he needs to be, and then you can be at his feet. And then that's a whole different life to live.
Mm-hmm.
If he's made a mess of your life, and he's on that throne, you got somewhere to go.
Okay.
So often we're alone in our sin and in our, you know, the choices that we've made, even in way in our past, and we can't have a relationship and all these things that are affecting us. But if he stays Lord of your life, things can happen, things can change.
Okay. So the difference here is growing in Christ, right?
Always.
And there's sin, okay? Yeah. Who? Okay, right? Yeah, so it's really like this, right? Right? Except for one person in the class whom I'll not pick on because she gets embarrassed. Right, Kathy?
You would never name Kathy's name and embarrass her.
I would never do such a thing. It's really bad pedagogy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where was I going with this? I wanted us to. Yeah, there was a.
Is that a spiritual dive or a carnal dive?
It's definitely spiritual, because we have to begin on time and end on time, right? Okay, there's a question over here. Yeah.
Is the point you're making is that every Christian is a spiritual. Is in a spirit of category. And we live in a constant cycle of the throne and dethrone.
Yes, it's called repentance and sin.
Yes, and that's really...
Right?
That's a biblical language.
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine used to describe the Christian life as like a football game. And you make yardage and you lose yardage, okay? And you finally cross the line when you die, you get to heaven. Yeah, seriously, okay? Okay, but you do, you go back and forth, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a second.
So the tracts are not untrue in the case of Karen's example. At that moment, she's calling people really to repent.
Yes, they're untrue when they want to indirectly legitimatize the status. Okay, that's not good, and they do. Okay, they're also when they imply, as people have said, you know, I'm spiritual Christian, and this I'm quoting somebody, and I haven't sinned for the last 4 years.
Above reproach.
Yeah.
We're above reproach.
Okay, like Caesar's wife. Okay. Okay. Seriously, people. It's not good news, but it's in the sense, you sin every day. You need a Savior every day. And what a wonderful Savior we have that He is there every day. Right? Any questions about that? Yeah. And then I'll get to you, and then we better quit.
Just a quick comment. I'm using the ESV.
That's okay.
And it says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? It seems to be instead of saying carnal, it's like laws that are involved with being merely human. That whole paragraph is
full of, and this paragraph, we like when we're dealing with Jude, we need to be very careful here that we don't approach it with all our preconceived ideas. Okay, we need to let the scripture speak. Yeah, John.
Yeah. So essentially, it's just we can have carnal or soulish behavior at times, but it's not a separate classification.
So yes, it's called sin.
Right.
Let's call it sin. That's what God calls it.
Right, but it's not necessarily, depending on the situation, it's not necessarily, as you were talking earlier, it's not necessarily sinful behavior if you have a more rational human conclusion of something. Right.
I don't know where you're going. I'm missing your point.
Meaning, what having to do with other things like politics or those issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my points in handing these out is I don't think politics is neutral. Right. Okay. Let's just go back to Jude for a second. When Jude says, there would be scoffers or mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly desires. Okay, they walk, or meaning they live as ungodly desires. What's the definition of godly and ungodly? Where are you going to define that? You're going to go to your Bible and you're going to read your Bible, right? Okay. So therefore, Scripture applies to, use the language, desires and how I walk, right? That's my point. Scripture applies and defines whether my behavior is godly or ungodly. That's my point. Okay, and when Jude uses the language walk or you're living, it's a pretty broad general concept, right? That's my point. That you can live a life in all areas of your life that is either godly or ungodly. I want to take the next step and say there's no area of your life where the concept godly versus ungodly does not apply. That's what I want to say. And how are you going to ask that question and get answers? And the answer is, I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to talk with other people. Okay, that's what that means. Okay? That's the point where I'm getting at. And this, whether you agree with this article or not, my point is here, let's just see if what Scripture says, and let's begin our thinking and our discussion. That's the point. We've got to begin with what Scripture says and know what's going on. And these different websites, you know, sources of ideas of what's going on out there, that's what I want us to understand. There are lots of places that we as God's people can be reading. And you know what? I'm going to guess all of them are free. At least most of them are free. They're pretty cheap, okay? So you can get some, I'm not talking about spending lots of money here. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, our Lord, that you have given us these great gifts like the internet that we can look at and read and learn more about what's going out there and be encouraged and challenged to know your word better and live it better. And we pray, Lord, that we would walk in godly desires, that our lives would be described that way. Whatever we do, we would want to ask the question and grow. How do you want us to live? And look for that answer in your word. We thank you, Father, that you've made us part of your church. We pray that as we go on, that we would grow more like our Savior, and know your word, and help each other and encourage each other in these different things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.